Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Nothing feeds a garden better than compost from your own backyard. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice. From our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, happy spring.
Well, we're happy that it is spring, and today on GLT's Grow, we're going to make sure we have a fruitful spring. We're going to create a compost bin so we can start basically creating our own compost.
Creating compost is a worthy exercise for any gardener.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a chuckle out of compost because when you talk to somebody that you think is or they claim to be a gardener, compost, I think, is one of many topics that can reveal the truthfulness about somebody's level of dedication.
Okay.
And if you're going to get excited about turning garbage into dirt, you've convinced me that you are passionate about gardening.
All right.
And not that I'm the only judge, but I've heard that spoken by other people whose opinions I admire. Compost is new and it's old. It's a tried and true practice. The new side of compost that this is me trying to convince you and everyone that I'm geeked out on gardening. There are actually compostable garbage bags made for sale nowadays.
Oh, that's fabulous.
It is fabulous because before that, you had the honey pot, which is the little sealable container, clay, whatever it is that you put the eggshells, the coffee grounds, whatever you produce in the household. Dryer lint. Remember we talked about dryer lint?
Yes.
Good thing to add some body and fiber to your compost.
Mm-hmm.
But this is huge. So if you're a restaurateur,
oh,
all of a sudden you have an ability to compost food scraps because the bag that they go in breaks down too. So I don't want to spend the whole time talking about that, but this is
huge. But
that's
a great, so if you're actually not somebody who's handy with a hammer and saw or what have you, that's a way to have your own compost bin. You've just, and you got a big family, well, there you go. You've got that garbage bag.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to talk too about the different kinds of compost configurations. So yeah, the bag is the latest craze.
Right.
But we also have compost tumblers. They're very popular, and they've been around for a long time.
And they're literally, it's like you're playing bingo. You put the stuff in there, you close the lid, and then you turn a crank, and it goes around and around.
Right, that's right. And they're great for, you know, I say your California garden. So if you got the little house in a metropolitan area, and you got the little gangway garden on the side, you're not producing a whole lot of organic waste, but enough to keep that tumbler full in addition to your toenails and your coffee grounds.
Mm-hmm. And sorry.
And then there's also, they're just as popular as the tumblers, there's the bottomless bins. They're usually green in color, like hunter green in color, and they rest on the ground.
And they literally do not have a bottom.
They don't have a bottom typically, or they'll have a bottom that allows the moisture to weep or drip out. But they can be moved around. They have about the same capacity as the tumblers. You can buy these in little kits. You know, they're like the size of a dog crate once you put it together. And whether it's a tumbler, a bottomless bin, we're going to talk about some others, wire bins. You should put your compost where you think you're going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because wherever you compost, the pile is going to shrink over time. It's going to be much smaller than the device that you're collecting it in. The volume of that device, or if you're a gardener that's got some space, you might have your compost just a loose pile on the ground, and that works too.
Oh, great. You know, that's very low maintenance.
The only little caveat between all the different kinds of composting is that if you live in an extremely wet or dry condition, you might need a cover.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. And this week, we're talking about compost bins. You said you could make them out of wire?
Yeah, wire bins that you can buy the kits that way, a three-wall or a four-wall, so a triangle, a square.
So
rectangle.
It's open air.
It's open air.
Is that important that it be open air?
It is, because there's some materials are breaking down there. You get some thermal energy from that, and you need some of that to be able to escape along with some of the gases.
Is it kind of stinky?
Well, early compost might have a smell to it, but when it no longer smells like what it originally was, you know your compost is just about ready.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, because I wanted to tell everybody that you know your compost is ready because it will smell like, feel like, and look like dirt.
Yay.
That's when it's ready. That could take 6 weeks. It could take 2 years.
Really?
It really depends on what you're composting, where it's at, and how much there is.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we talked about the tumblers, bottomless bins, wireless bins. The really popular now, because repurposing is popular, is pallet bins or pallet corrals made of 2, 3, 4 pallets all kind of connected together.
Great.
And, you know, pallets have the baffles in between the little planks of wood.
So that lets some air through.
And also, if it's rainy, you know, allows some of that moisture to escape. Some of it's absorbed by the wood. Some of it just passes through the gaps in evaporation and evapotranspiration. So they work great. I mentioned covering compost. There's lots of varying points of view on that. Covering compost can help kind of trap that thermal energy, but composting will work inside the pile without a cover on it. I just wanted to make that comment. If you live in Seattle,
all right,
or you live in Tucson, you might have to put a cover over there to create consistency of one temperature. Instead of letting it bake and then cool down or get cold and warm back up, compost works best and breaks down the best when it's the consistent temperature.
Great tip.
You can monitor your compost if you need to.
Oh, should I put like a camera on it?
Yeah, right.
It's compost cam.
A timer, you know. It's time, ding, ding, ding. It's time to go out and turn your compost. So that brings us back to the tumblers. Turning compost mixes in the older broken down debris with the newer stuff.
And that will hasten the breaking down of the newer stuff.
That's right. But if you're tumbling it too often, you kind of interfere in some of that.
Ah.
So you're exposing some of that mold and things that help break it down. It likes the dark and the dank in the middle of the pile, but if you're turning it too frequently, it's exposed to the air and it's going to break down slower.
So what's a good timing?
I don't know for sure.
Ooh, that's tricky.
I know, and it falls in that 6 week to 2 year time period.
Well, that's kind of a long span there.
It sure is. It sure is. But if it's the context in which you're collecting compost. So
okay,
if it's the household, you're going to turn it maybe on the change of the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a landscaper or a farmer or somebody that's a land manager that has large piles of compost, you may never turn them.
Amazing.
And you might turn them when you go to get some of that compost and that bucket goes into the pile.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the good stuff off the bottom and the older stuff mixes with what's left behind and it continues to break down.
Just make sure that pile doesn't get taller than you are, because you don't want to get buried under an avalanche of compost.
Yeah, because then you can't handle that with a wheelbarrow.
Mm-hmm.
You could. That's a lifetime supply of compost. So
yeah,
if you're dealing with compost piles of that size, I hope you're a landscape contractor or a professional gardener of some kind. But composting is fantastic, and there's almost everything that's left over in your kitchen can disappear into a honey pot and then make it out to your compost bin. You got to keep the meats and stuff out of there and meat fats, because that's what attracts the varmints to forage in your compost.
So just potato skins and things like that, and you'll be in good shape.
That's right.
All right. Great. Great advice there, Murph. Thank you so much. Next week on GLT's Grow, Bill in Memphis, Tennessee needs advice on how to be an absentee gardener. So we'll be tackling that next week.
Can do.
On Grow. Now, if you've got a gardening question or problem that you would like Murph to take on, go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form and send it along to us, and feel free to include a photo of your gardening issue. Submit your gardening questions right now at wglt.org/grow.